Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio for this Monday drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. A good Monday to you all. Hope you had a great weekend. Tom Callahan working the magic on the other side of the glass. Good to have you back, sir, after a day off, well-earned. Happy to have you back in the saddle.
It's good to be back, Zach. It, you know what? I woke up this morning and I said, hey, look, I'm driving in. The sun's coming up.
That's right.
There are worse things to do than have fun with this whole thing we call radio.
Another good morning live on the air. Yes, and I'm excited about today's show, Tom. It's the kickoff to what I think is a response to what I've heard from our listeners, from I've heard from folks out there, wanting to start the week off with a bit of a news hour, talking about local news stories and issues that certainly have been in the papers, in the news over the weekend, coming into the week, and to talk about those things with other people who are talking about those things, who are watching those, who are reporting on those. And so beginning today, we are shifting our Monday shows every Monday. That's the goal, to be a bit of a news hour. We'll talk about the news and the issues about Tucson and Southern Arizona that are driving the news. Today is day one. I'm super super excited about it. I can tell you we'll meet our first of those today, Louis Christensen, the curator of Tucson Tomorrow, covering all things Tucson, a Twitter feed, an account full of tough love for the city we want to see improve, flourish, grow, and oh, one more thing, hashtag bear down. Louis and I don't always see eye to eye, but we share a passion for this community. He's got a few thousand followers on there, folks who are really caring about this city, want to talk about the issues. I've always found Louis' take to be cheeky, edgy, but full of passion. And so looking forward to chatting with Louis in a second. Next week is Lorraine Rivera, the host of Arizona 360 on Arizona Public Media. So we'll mix it up with some, my goal is mostly kind of younger, fresher faces in journalism and news, folks maybe we don't get to hear a lot from, but that's what we're going to be doing on Mondays to get you ready for your week. Again, that's based on feedback we heard from you, something I've been wanting to do for a while. And certainly as this gets going, we want to hear from you and make sure you like the new format. But good morning to you, Tucson, Southern Arizona. Good morning to you, Louis Christensen, curator of Tucson Tomorrow. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, morning, Zach. I didn't know I was kicking this thing off. So hopefully I do a good job and don't, you know, sink this thing right out of the gate.
I was going to say, the pressure is high. The pressure is on. Although, if you screw it up, Louis, Lorraine Rivera will clean it all up next week. So no worries. So no worries there. But Louis, man, we got a lot to talk about. Give us the lay of the land. I asked you, what are the things that are resonating with your fellow Tucsonan followers on Tucson Tomorrow? What are the big issues of the day? Give us the lay of the land this morning, and then we'll dig in and get started.
Yeah, so kind of like you said, like I do kind of bring that, you know, cheeky, tongue-in-cheek, more sarcastic approach to our community and the news. And I think what that does is it kind of breeds a level of honesty, and people, you know, the messages I get sent and the tags I get tagged in, people really kind of share their honest opinion and aren't always just trying to, you know, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with that. But yeah, it's a more of an honest approach. But what I'm really seeing out there right now is a lot of people concerned about the real estate market here in Tucson and kind of the local community coming out of COVID-19 and all that. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks and months for Tucson. We've had so many articles written about how we are a top destination for remote workers, for, hey, if you already have a job, you should come here and work from this beautiful community. I mean, from Forbes all the way down to, you know, your more smaller real estate focused online publications. And then yesterday, obviously, or I think it was over the weekend, Tim Steller came out with his piece on what that is actually looking like here on the ground. So I'm seeing a lot of buzz about the folks moving here and potentially, you know, skyrocketing prices.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, what's your, let's do this. What are we going to talk about today? Give me your four or five stories and issues that you want to talk about. Maybe we'll go to a quick early break and so we can dig in. But what are you seeing out there? Real estate, I agree, it's a big one. Yeah. What are some of the other stories and issues that seem to be bubbling up to the surface in your world?
it's going to be the Tucson versus Phoenix continued forever battle. Sometimes it feels like, you know, the battle in the Middle East just goes on forever and ever, no matter what happens. And here we are, you know, in the Old Pueblo Phoenix Basin, just duking it out constantly. I've been hearing some really interesting things kind of from behind the scenes of that fight, of some things that we've lost in the past that should have been ours and went up north, and just that kind of continued fight against Arizona being what feels like for us down here in Tucson, a one city state, with Phoenix and Maricopa County getting all the love and Tucson kind of just getting the scraps. So that's a big thing. So we have real estate, we have that, and then we have kind of a couple tentacles, you know, reaching out from that issue with incorporation, people always talking about Vail, and now kind of Caledonia Foothills. What would it look like? Would it be a positive thing or a negative thing for those cities or those unincorporated county towns to actually incorporate and kind of run their own shows? And then lastly, you know, we probably should talk about the Chief Magnus and maybe some U of A basketball conversations as well, with some people getting appointed to pretty high positions. And it kind of came across as a surprise here in the local market of, wow, like, I didn't know Chief Magnus had that much political sway in the national scene. So, yeah, that's kind of the quick rundown. And I'm sure we'll get off topic and rabbit trail, but that's a lot of stuff I'm seeing bubbling to the surface right now.
I love it. Again, we're talking with Louis Christensen, curator of Tucson Tomorrow, a loving, but I call it kind of a cheeky approach to the city that we love. Louis is a younger in career and family in Tucson, grew up in Tucson, went to school here, had to leave for a job, got to come back. Louis, I think that shapes a lot of your view of how do we create a community where that leaving and coming back doesn't even have to happen in the first place. But that's the table set. We're going to talk about those issues today that Louis just mentioned. When we come back from a break, Louis, how does this sound? Let's talk U of A basketball. Let's talk a little bit about the news that just came out a couple hours ago. We're all making sense of it. Chief Magnus. And then maybe some real estate, and we'll see what we get into before the bottom of the hour. A full news hour with Louis Christensen, Tucson Tomorrow, talking about some of the news issues that people are talking about on Twitter. We'll be right back here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice.
Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
In
1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. Day one, our first day of this new Monday news hour on Tipping Point as we get you into your week by talking about the news and the stories driving the week ahead as we come out of the weekend. We'll be talking to folks who are talking about the issues, talking about the news, who are in the news, making the news every Monday here today going forward. With us this morning is Louis Christensen, curator of Tucson Tomorrow. I think sometimes if you want to know what's really happening in the news, go on Twitter. You'll see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Louis Christensen lives in that space. God bless him. Louis, good morning to you. I want to jump right in here and talk about the Arizona basketball coaching search. Give me your top three candidates that you think are being considered, and where do we end up with this? We thought maybe today we'd have some answers. We know that there were interviews that happened over the weekend, but give us your best sense of what you think is going to, who's going to sit in that seat in the end.
My call is probably going to be Tommy Lloyd. He's the assistant coach for Gonzaga right now, and he was is actually written into his contract at Gonzaga to take over their head coaching position if I'm blanking on the coach's name, if their head coach
Mark
ever steps down. So thank you. It's early. It's Monday. So there was a kind of a whoopsie-daisy report over the weekend that a deal was already struck. I chatted with a couple of folks, and it sounds like there are nearly some handshake deals happening behind the scenes with him, but there's still some interviews going on. Damon Stoudemire has also been interviewed. We know that.
Right.
And a couple of folks who are like, well, why don't we grab Luke Walton? He's not interested in the position.
Sacramento is not bad enough.
Not yet.
To not be better than, to not be worse than Arizona. Did I put that the right way?
Yeah. Would you rather get paid millions of dollars to be okay at your job or get paid millions of dollars to get fired because you're okay at your job? Like, we don't deal with okay at U of A. It's either, you know, Final Fours or nothing, which I think personally is kind of a big reason why Miller did get let go. You know, apart from all the scandal and all that, and there's some talk of, you know, Robbins essentially wanting to get him out a lot sooner than Hickey. It's really easy to let a coach go when there's also the sentiment of, well, is he really that good at his job? And it definitely feels like we started out really hot with Sean Miller, and it's just kind of been, you know. And dang, Wisconsin, I think, was the straw that broke the camel's back twice for his era. So unfortunate to see him go. Unfortunate circumstances, super interesting circumstances and timing. But I would say Tommy Lloyd. Just real quick, and then we'll hop because we have a lot to cover. The last thing that the thing I'm seeing a lot, and I saw it with the head coaching search for football as well, is this kind of mystical and tangible, well, if we get an alumni, then we'll be good. And it's just so frivolous. Well, the only thing that an alumni coach buys you, like guaranteed, is patience. There's one or two extra years of, well, it, you know, he's our guy, he'll rebuild it, and that's it. There's no promise that we get this magical, you know, a Dia Barnes type of situation. You know, she could have easily flopped. Just there's nothing magical. Lute Olson was not an alumni. Tomey was not an alumni. Miller was not an alumni. We can go back, you know, down the list. Heck, our softball coach played for ASU. So, you know,
well, that's the ticket right there. I'm just kidding.
You would say that. So we got to get off that. The only thing alumni thing buys you is maybe five extra ticket sales and a year extra of patience while we go through a rebuild.
if you're out there listening and you agree or disagree, 790-2040, we'll keep the phone lines open. We're asking a few of these journalists and folks in the news and out there making sense of the news in variety of ways. We're asking them to come on with us on Monday, and Louis definitely brings his own take on things. I was going to say, you know, Adia would be the big exception to that. That is so much on the front of people's minds, you know, and but you know, with it's interesting with Sean is his win-loss record's incredible. I mean, if you look at his resume, the resume is solid, and it's just that there wasn't enough execution at the highest level to back that up. And so many people have been saying hire Lloyd and Stoudemire. Make Stoudemire an assistant. Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the Jed Fisher approach is he loaded his staff with the alumni, and they're good alumni, right? I'm not against alumni. I'm not saying like because someone's alumni like they shouldn't be here. We should just hire the best coach for our team, and then the city will become indebted to them, not just like okay, who's the best alumni that wants the job?
Right.
We already have Jason Terry, so we already have some representation. So we the thing that will pull U of A fans in again and really bring us back to the level that we need to be at is not the fact that our coach is an alumni. It's we have a coach that can recruit and game plan and execute. So that's what we need.
Yeah, and my last comment, and we'll leave this, Tommy Lloyd is very skilled at international recruiting, which I think is a big deal for specifically the University of Arizona, where we've seen that become a bigger feature of our rosters over time. So a lot of reasons why I agree with you, Louis, that I think Tommy Lloyd is not only at the top of the list, but should be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I want to see what we can get into in terms of real estate, the real estate market here before our bottom of the hour break. You and I read the news just about the same time, wasn't on our list, but we couldn't do a news hour on a Monday and not talk about the New York Times, you know, headline about Tucson in the news. I don't know how much time you've had to think about it, Louis. I'm not asking you for any takes per se, but we got to mention it. Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus is nominated, not confirmed. He's not going anywhere yet. People forget that just because the president says I'd like to put him on my list doesn't mean that he's going anywhere, but nominated for the head of the CBP, Customs and Border Patrol Protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like an interesting pick, but when you actually take a look at it, you know, there's going to be only so many candidates out there who aligned properly with this administration's idea of what Customs and Border means. Chief Magnus was very outspoken against the Trump administration, and he refused the Stone Garden grants that we could have used to help out, you know, a pretty sketchy situation. No matter which side of the aisle you kind of lean towards, it's not a good situation to have folks in need. It feels interesting to me. I think Chief Magnus has done a really great job with some of the local issues with the policing, where he's really trying to make a big stance on, hey, we don't need a police officer, you know, an armed police officer to walk up to someone who's having a mental episode. We need someone who is actually trained and has, you know, a degree potentially to help them, you know, de-escalate the situations. And a lot of policing is social. It's those social calls, not a bad guy with a gun holding up a jewelry store, like in the movies. And I think he's done a really good job of steering Tucson in that direction where we're helping the people who needs help, and instead of just locking them up and potentially escalating whatever issue that they might have, be it mental or, you know, criminal leanings with drugs and that type of thing. So as far as the border thing is concerned and that position, it's kind of like a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. But we were in the news a lot during that initial wave, right back in, what was that, 2016, 2017?
Right.
And so he probably did bubble up to a lot of people's kind of conscious in D.C. For that reason, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it there for today. I agree with you that locally, you know, I've gotten a little heat for saying this, but, you know, working with him at a neighborhood level has always been a really great experience. I think he's a dedicated public servant. And I agree with you, Louie. You know, I've been asking a lot of questions about, okay, so those calls for service that are coming off in April, where are those going? I think there's a real conversation to be had about, do we need to be sending armed officers to those things? I think to a large degree, if we can find the right partners, and I would say we're 50% there maybe with some of those calls, we don't. We could send our officers to the other calls that are currently taking 8, 10, 12 hours to respond to that we need them to respond to. So I think if we're having a pragmatic local conversation about these issues, you know, I would agree. I think there's some things that have been positive here locally. A lot that hasn't gone right. You know, I think the fact that we only have 14 folks who are in training right now to be police officers, and we lose almost that much every 2 months routinely, is concern. Mm-hmm. I think there was some strengths pre-COVID that we're not seeing anymore. And so it's an interesting time for a head of that department to be promoted. I think for me, I just don't know enough about his previous employment record to go, how does this connect to CBP? That's where I'm getting a little bit lost, but I like the guy. And
I mean, just to throw it out there, Regina Romero was going to be, a HUD position? And I don't know if she's ever done anything in that direction resume-wise, so maybe it's just kind of a thing. So maybe they're just going for Tucson. I don't know what's going on, but
so Louie,
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, let's springboard from that. We don't have to finish the conversation here. We've got about 3 minutes left. We might as well start it on the real estate market. You mentioned all the different kind of themes in the news about how hot our market is. I think there's been a missing story in those stories, and I want to see if you and I have the same missing story. What isn't being talked about that needs to be talked about?
Context, historical context is the missing story, and everyone either on purpose, you know, blindly, or is just trying to hit that clickbait button. Historical context for the city of Tucson in recent history is the missing piece. There's a reason that we're seeing these massive percentage swings in the cost of a house here in Tucson. Those medians are just skyrocketing now for one specific reason. And really what it comes down to is, and we can kind of tease this out, it's the market finally surpassing failed foresight. That's the missing story going on right now. Not malice, not greed. It's the market finally surpassing failed foresight.
So Louie, you're right. We may have to leave that as a tease at the bottom of the hour, but I want to come back to it. 60 seconds, what do you mean by that? What's the thing you're talking about? And we'll dive in after the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, so for so long, we've existed in this really unsustainable balance between quality of living and low cost of living. This is an amazing, amazing food town. We are internationally recognized, the UNESCO City of Gastronomy, and yet our real estate has been dirt cheap, and I think unsustainably dirt cheap for how great of a city we actually are. And the biggest reason that that's been happening is that we do not have a local job market where people graduating from U of A or Pima can land a solid job and work their way up through their career path and stay in Tucson. Like you kind of teased at the top of the show, I had to leave because I could not find a job that I thought paid for what my talents were worth. I loved Tucson. I still love Tucson. I always will love Tucson. We have to stop sending the people who love it away. We have to help them out and keep them here. The reason we're seeing these skyrocketing prices is those people are getting forced to leave, and folks who already have money and already are carrying a job with them can come here and take advantage of that imbalance.
It's an interesting take. I have a different angle on that. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break here on Tipping Point. We'll be right back.
Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
It's a new year, and if you're like me and my family, we're thinking a lot about our financial plan for 2021. Savings, reducing debt, growing wealth, planning for the future, it's a lot, and often really confusing. If that's you too, give Jason Robinson at MassMutual a call to set up a plan for your money that meets your goals. Jason and his team have decided to reduce their fees during this first quarter to make sure that anyone who wants a strategy and accountability can get it. Call 274-3749 to get started and tell them Zach at Tipping Point sent you.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. If you're just joining us for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, joined in studio by Louis Christensen, curator of Tucson Tomorrow. Today kicks off our brand new Monday News Hour, where we get you ready for the week, talking about the big stories of the day with the folks who are watching the news and talking about the news, whether that be journalism, TV, newspaper, in this case, Twitter. Listen to you. A lot of listeners said, hey, we'd like this format. And I said, I agree. I think that'd be fantastic. So we're doing it. And Louis Christensen is our first. Lorraine Rivera is next Monday, Arizona Public Media, AZ360. We'll talk with her about the four stories that she's been paying attention to lately. That's what we're up to today. We talked with Louis about U of A basketball coaching search. We talked some real estate market. We'll continue that conversation. We talked Chief Magnus, Tucson Police Chief Magnus, being nominated for head of Customs and Border Protection. That's what we're up to so far. Lots to talk about here the rest of the hour. You know, Louis, before I go to the phone, I think you were mentioning that what we don't talk about when we talk about how hot the housing market is, in your mind, kind of jobs and upward mobility for those who are here in Tucson. I think that's important. I think for me, and I've mentioned this to some folks, what I see all the time is we talk about the scarcity of housing in a way that only highlights investments or what is called flippers and how housing prices are increasing. What I have not seen one article in the papers over the last number of months on this issue, and it's clickbait titles and only deals with the clickbait aspect of this, is the fact that we often intentionally and consistently say no to new housing stock. Nobody's talking about how a level of NIMBYism in our community is killing the opportunity for home ownership and affordability and attainability. And whether it's on purpose or not, I actually think often it's not on purpose, but our leadership in this community often puts in place policies that prevent an increase in supply. Now, an increase in supply won't solve the demand issue. It's not just that piece. A lot of people want to make it just about that piece. But nobody's talking about the fact that we have more demand than supply, and that we often in this community spend 5, 6, 10 years talking to death the opportunity to create more diversity of housing supply. That has to be a part of this, and nobody's talking about it. Louis, your thoughts real quick, then we'll get Tony. We've got a couple callers on the line I want to get to, great. But Louis, go for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, this is not a 2008, 2009 housing bubble situation where everyone was buying when not everyone should have been buying, right? That's what caused the last one. And other factors, you can, there's plenty of hour-long podcasts on that, or in long articles. What's happening right now is that there is a massive lack of houses for sale. Yes, like 1,000% with you. New houses and new housing in general, not just like houses, like single family. We need a heck of a lot more to keep up with the demand. But what really happened, it was a kind of a perfect storm for us in 2020, where Tucson got really hot, got really popular. How, you know, the work from home thing really kicked off, so people can move. We're seeing that with a decrease in housing. Houses for sale, like a massive, I think it was like 7% decrease from 2019, plus a like historically low interest rate. So everyone who would have probably sold their house, refinanced, took that money, and this, you know, some of them probably are putting it back into their houses through, you know, renovations and whatnot. So yeah, it's the same thing that happened in the Bay Area, California, like a decade or two, and they're really now starting to see the repercussions, where if you don't build more housing, your supply stays the exact same. The price can only go up if interest stays level.
That's right.
Not even goes up. If interest stays level and there's no houses,
yeah,
the price has to go up.
Yeah.
And so either we're going to talk about, you know, new houses being built, woe is Tucson, or we're going to talk about pricing going up and woe is Tucson. It's a lose-lose situation for the NIMBYs, for sure.
Louis Christensen is with us covering all things Tucson on Tucson Tomorrow on Twitter. You can follow that Twitter page, an account full of tough love for the city. We want to see improve, flourish, and grow. Louis, I don't always agree about everything, but it's certainly a fun conversation every time we do it. Let's go to our phone lines. We have Tony, who's been hanging with us for a bit on line three. Tony, thanks for calling in and chatting with Louis and I this morning.
Absolutely. I always appreciate the informative information you're providing to the community there, Zach.
Thank you, sir.
So I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking when I was growing up, the five C's were the main driving forces economically in this community and this state and the region. So I think they still are pretty prevalent. And for those people that don't know what the five C's are, it's citrus, cattle, cotton, copper, mining, and there's something else there that I probably climate. Forgot. But
climate. They were still teaching that when I was going through school.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are the driving industries. And when you have driving industries, you have political power and might and legislation and the philosophies that go along with those industries that we're pretty much locked in on. And until something new comes on the horizon, or it's probably already happening with the port of entry in Nogales and all the stuff that's going down in Mexico, and it's going to force us to rethink these industries and how they are incorporated or integrated with our futuristic ideas of what we can do here.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony, you're spot on. And the thing is that we need to add a sixth C right now, and that's Californian, which is the big driving factor going on right now with a lot of new folks coming here again. Like it happened, you know, back in the 80s and back in the 50s, and now we're seeing that big influx of attention where they're not here for the climate or the cattle or anything like that. They're here because it's a good quality of life, and their money goes so much further in Tucson than it does anywhere along the coast.
Louis, Tony, thank you for calling in. I want to circle back and add to the conversation based on Tony's call here in a minute, but I want to get to, it looks like Maurice on line four. Always appreciate your calls in. Know that sometimes you don't have a lot of time to hang on the line, so I try to get to you as soon as possible. We'll circle back to Tony's thing in a minute, but Maurice, thanks for holding. You're on line four and with Louis and Zach here on Tipping Point.
Thank you very much, Zach. Yes, my name is Maurice. I graduated from the University of Arizona. Actually, this conversation is in support of the individual that said he had to leave town to go to work. And I forget his name at the moment. So,
but, Louis, he's with
anyway,
us right now. Yeah.
I graduated in 1965. From the University of Arizona. I passed my in-training exam for certification, which then required 3 years of being underneath a professional in my career field. And I even, I did have an outside source of income. That's what allowed me to continue college. But I even tried to go to work for individuals in Tucson, and I told them I'd work for nothing, just to gain the experience for professional certification. And they said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So I stayed in school, graduated again in 1967, and it was the same philosophy back in that era. The only place for me to go to work basically was Hughes Aircraft, which was not hiring at the time period. So the entire culture has to change as far as who we're bringing into Tucson, that so the graduates at the University of Arizona will stay here. I was married with four children. They were in school, and I did not want to do it. Consequently, I had to commute to various locations around the country, taking time away from my family life and participation in activities that they had. So that's in support of the individual that said he had to leave town to go to work also. This is the overall philosophy of Tucson, and it hasn't changed since I've been here since 1944.
Maurice, I really appreciate the call. And if you're out there listening and you call in, that is a gift to this show. It is a gift to Tucson. I don't take it for granted. You're taking time out of your day to call in. It means the world. Man, I've got something to say about Maurice's call and Tony's call. Louie, I want to get you in first. You're the guy he's talking about. Yeah. Maurice, the guy I mentioned is Louie. Louie is with us. Louie had to do that and came back. I have thoughts, but Louie, real quick, your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing, and again, I always want to find that middle ground between the not in my backyard folks and the yes in my backyard folks, right? The protect our Tucson culture and how do we grow at the exact same time. And I think you and I both really push for that balance there. The biggest thing that I've seen, and it happens not even just on a social level with us, you know, locals, it actually happens on like a real estate level as well, where you have local people wanting to do local things. I'm talking about the corner of Stone and Speedway. I know the real estate guy who wanted to develop a really cool kind of multi-use place there, but it got shot down by the Dunbar Springs neighborhood because it was going to be over, I think, three stories tall, and you can't have that in Tucson. That, God forbid, you have space going vertically instead of out into the desert. And so he was forced to sell it. Now it's a Popeyes. Why? Because he sold it to some guy from Colorado or California who didn't really care about the local Tucson scene, didn't care about the local food, didn't care about the aesthetic, was just in it for that dollar and put a Popeyes on it. Right. That's what we don't protect our city by not improving it. We give it away to people who don't care about it like we do. The best way to protect Tucson and the culture that we have and the culture that we're all proud of and have spent our lives building is by keeping those people, the people who love it like us, around if they want to be. You're always going to have people who are going to leave town. But if you can keep young people who have a history and connection to the city here, and let them have a job and a career, you know, like I'm very blessed to have, where I can thrive with my young family and buy a house and stay, that's how you keep the Tucson culture around. Not by saying no, 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 until we hit a breaking point and then we're wondering why everything's a Taco Bell.
We're with Louie Christensen this morning, part of our first of what I hope is going to be many, many months and years of our Monday new news hour, where we talk about the key stories and news driving the week ahead from the weekend prior. We get to talk with folks who are watching the news, talking about the news. Today it's Louie Christensen, curator of Tucson Tomorrow, a Twitter feed, Twitter blog, covering all things hashtag Tucson, an account full of tough love for the city we want to see improve, flourish, and grow. Next week is Lorraine Rivera, to give you a sense of the mix of folks we're going to have on Arizona Public Media, AZ360. You know, Louie, I think it's interesting, a couple quick thoughts, then we'll go to our final break, because Tony and Maurice got my brain spinning. One is, to Maurice's point, I know getting to work with hundreds of young professionals in Tucson on a daily basis, for all that is great and beautiful about Tucson. And by the way, I want to say that there's a lot great and beautiful about Tucson, a lot of seeds in the ground. I'm excited. I think our days ahead have the opportunity to be better than the days before, and the days before haven't been all that half bad either. But I think the challenge, listening to Maurice, is that we have remained a city where you had a chance of starting here and maybe ending here, but in the middle, raising a family, building a career. That has always been a donut hole. And Maurice's story from 1967, it was the same in 2017. And we have rationalized failure in this community to a point where I think we've gotten to a point where we go, you know what, I give up. I call uncle on this problem. We are going to be a boomerang community. It is what it is. You're going to have to leave and you're going to have to come back. And we hope we can keep the Maurices coming back and the Louis coming back, but it is what it is. And Louis, I'll tell you, I refuse to believe that that is Tucson's future. I refuse to believe that that's Tucson's tomorrow. If we can't build a community where you can grow a career and raise a family, then what are we doing? That is the question we have to answer. That's all we exist here to do, is create a community where we can live and thrive and grow a career and a family, right?
Absolutely. And it really comes down to, we need to stop the people who are trying to treat Tucson like their own personal retirement community, where all they need is a little bit of entertainment once a month, some basketball tickets, and some good restaurants to go to with good happy hour deals. Like, we have to stop that. And that's not a shot at, like, the boomers and the older folks, because I know a lot that are pushing really, really hard and partnering with young folks to try and make what they grew up with, whether it was in Tucson or away, possible here. Like, if you look around your community, and, you know, maybe you're, like, out in Saddlebrook, that doesn't really count, but if you look around your neighborhood and you only see people like your age, older folks, and you're going, wow, I wonder where all the families are. They're all in Phoenix. They all got forced to Phoenix. And that's not a, you need to leave. That is a, come help join us in this fight for a sustainable, you know, I don't like using the word organic, because there's no such thing as organic, really. But a sustainable growth for our local economy. We can do it. We have the space. We might need to go vertically every once in a while, but we have the ability, we have the raw talent. Like, if you're proud of U of A basketball, imagine how proud you'd be if you had your neighborhood full of a bunch of young families flying Wildcat flags, right? Like, come on, like, let's give ourselves a kick in the pants. Stop being so selfish across the board. Like, your Mountain View is going to be there. It's all going to be okay. But if you want Tucson to be the city that we all think it can be, this beautiful place for people to live and for our parks to be filled with little kids running around, we have to stop being that boomerang community. We have to.
Yeah.
Period. So I don't know. I get a little fired up about that, because I look around and I see a lot of people who love Tucson, but man, they hold on to their version of it with just an iron grip. And there's just too much talent. I have too many friends that live elsewhere, like really, really good, talented folks who live elsewhere with really good jobs, and say, well, I would love to move back to Tucson, but there's just no jobs for me. And so you can only blame yourself if you're looking around. Like, well, you're not doing enough, right? I'm not doing enough. Zach, you do probably more than anyone in the entire city, but, like, you can do more, right? We can always do more to help our city. So take one step forward and helping Tucson become a place where a young family can buy a house, stay, raise their family, and create other little Tucson devotees. Like, that's what we need.
We'll be back to wrap up with Louis Christensen for this Monday News Hour here on Tipping Point, talking about the issues of the day when we return. One more segment. Don't go away.
We're Tucson's station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
And we're back here in the 1030 The Voice studio. This new Monday news hour here on Tipping Point. Every Monday, we'll talk to the people who are watching the news, talking about it, making the news. Lorraine Rivera, Arizona 360, Arizona Public Media, is with us next week. Kicking us off, though, is Louis Christensen this week, curator of the Twitter feed Tucson. Tomorrow, covering all things Tucson, an account full of tough love for the city we want to see improve, flourish, and grow. We are both young family men who love this community, see its potential, and care a lot about storytelling, what it could be. You know, to kind of give you the floor, Louis, as we close out, Tony mentioned the five C's. You know, I think Arizona's seen a lot of growth around being a low-cost, low-wage, low-service economy. We're now seeing that we're at a tipping point, a reckoning, where that way of building a state is probably not going to work anymore. How we provide service to a variety of workers and families in this state is going to be the new question once the kind of early stage of economic development stuff runs its course, and it's about to. What are you hearing about the economy of Tucson? How do we grow it? How do we make it what it can be, balancing sustainability and quality of life with opportunity and upward mobility?
Yeah, so it's super easy to just blame the city of Tucson and leaders and local leaders, and I definitely have done that my fair share for our sluggish economy. But really, like I said, everyone needs to do more. They need to do more. But what I'm hearing behind the scenes is a lot of the times that they're kind of afraid to talk out in public about it, not just for their constituents here in Tucson, the NIMBYs who don't want that extra job market to come here, but also because Phoenix has kind of had a habit of swooping us. The big thing is that when we talk about the Phoenix Basin, I don't say a valley because it's not, it's a basin, has Phoenix, Glendale, Chandler, Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, like all these different cities that are all kind of, it's like we're playing 5-on-1 with the city of Tucson, right? So there's a really good chance. And actually, there's kind of a rumor going around that that when Tesla was just, you know, kind of picking between Reno and Tucson, that that Chandler swooped in and pitched against Tucson to try and win the business over. And then they picked Reno because they bagged on Tucson enough to where it wasn't an option anymore. Like, if that's true, that's horrific. But I do know from talking to a lot of folks on both sides here in Tucson and in Phoenix that Phoenix does kind of like playing the vulture when it comes to Tucson business interest. So that's got to stop. We need to get more Tucsonans involved in state level committees as well. That's a really big push, and I hope that, you know, Tucson Young Professionals is aiming in that direction, because we really have to stop that from happening, and we need to be a two city state, if anything else, more than the one city state that we currently are. We also, it would be hugely beneficial if Vail and Catalina Foothills were to incorporate, become their own cities. That way it would at least be, you know, three, maybe four, if you count Oro Valley, who kind of sits on their hands a little bit when it comes to economic development anyway, because of their beautiful mountain views. And we could have that kind of joint effort, because right now all that revenue that gets spent at La Encantada and up in the foothills and all that just gets kind of spilled around Pima County. So if you're in the foothills and you're complaining about your street, it's not Tucson's fault. You're not in Tucson. You don't live in Tucson. You live in Pima County. That's the county's fault. If you want that to stop, incorporate, and you can actually keep those tax dollars that you're spending there in your own community, right? If Capsule became its own city today, it would be like one of the top five wealthiest median household income cities in the nation, not in the state, the nation. There's a lot of money up there that's just kind of getting across the entire county. So that would be massively, massively beneficial for that to happen. To, you know, kind of, we need to team up against the Phoenix Basin for those jobs. And then a big thing is just kind of, we need to organize better, right? If you look at Maricopa County, there are just like every other step you see some sort of local economic development kind of organization pushing in the exact same direction. We need local businesses to team up with Tucson Young Professionals, with Sun Corridor, just doing whatever it takes to get us over the finish line. We can no longer rely on just City of Tucson and their efforts, just Sun Corridor and their efforts, because it's Phoenix has too much momentum behind them at this point for us to try and win. They're just going to keep swiping jobs from us. I mean, heck, they even swiped the University of Arizona online jobs that's based out of Chandler right now, right? So they have U of A professionals living up in Chandler. That shouldn't have happened, but they did it. So that, I mean, that's a big uphill battle for sure, but there's got to be a couple of folks around Tucson that have the cojones to get out there and actually do something about it.
Yeah, the incorporation conversation is interesting. That could be a show all on its own. You know, I think the news item that directly connects to that is last week I had Councilmember Paul Cunningham and Supervisor Rex Scott on to talk about the water conflict between the city and the county right now. And it's interesting because the part that doesn't get talked about a lot is that Maricopa is 94% incorporated. There's only 6%, to my knowledge, of unincorporated area in Maricopa. Whereas in Pima County, we've had an allergy to incorporation, and some of that's been on purpose and some of it hasn't. But I think the points that you're bringing up are interesting. Louis, that takes us to time. I want to make sure that I also pitch your Twitter page. Where can people go to engage with the kind of conversation you've talked about today?
Yeah, so hop on Twitter it's at Tucson Tomorrow. Tucson Tomorrow is the handle there. I try and post more questions than statements, but every once in a while I get a little fire and I throw something out there. But yeah, I have a lot of new information kind of portals opening up to me as of late. I don't name names or anything like that, but I do get a lot of interesting kind of things sliding behind the scenes. So follow along. We're in this to the end.
Thanks, Louis, for bringing some of that on the air with us. We'll see you again next month. Next week, Lorraine Rivera is our Monday News Hour, Arizona Public Media, Arizona 360. Louis, goodbye to you. Thanks so much. Tucson, thanks for listening. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. Stay safe out there.